Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
So there was this discussion, and there's a fair amount of discussions, which I didn't want to do. I absolutely didn't want to do because I personally thought it was a load of nonsense. The Elon Musk so-called Nazi salute. But then one of our Jewish organizations, the Cape Town Jewish Board of Deputies, put out a statement saying that although it was not intended or it might not have been intended, it certainly looked that way and he should apologize. I've disagreed with that publicly yesterday quite strongly. I got a lot of backlash, which is fine. It's part of the part of what I do. But can we just try now and understand this and put this to bed? Tzvi Ofir is a body language expert. Tzvi, good morning. Thank you for joining us. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you very much for the honor once again to be on your program. We're fine. Absolutely fine here in Israel.
Well, you know what? That's a bold-faced lie. And if I could see your body language, it would tell me that what you're saying is absolutely untrue because nobody in Israel could be fine. Right. So we'll put that aside. We will put that aside and not get caught up on that. So, Tzvi, you've really heard my take on it, so I'm not coming as a neutral because I can't. I think it's stupid. But tell me, am I wrong? Was that a Nazi salute?
Okay, first of all, like many others, it was interesting, and I went into it a bit more in order to research it.
Right.
So first of all, the bottom line is, no, I disagree with the with those who say that it was intended as a Heil Hitler a salute. And also, I mean, it basically divides up between those who are pro-Trump and those who are against Trump. Those who are pro-Trump said it wasn't, that there's no way that he intended it as such. And those who are against Trump and Elon Musk say that it was intended. But just a bit about the salute. The salute actually originates with the Roman emperors, which was the Hail Caesar,
right,
where the extended arm out front, in the front of the body, and with the palm facing downwards at a 45-degree angle, that was the way to say we have only one leader, one person in charge, and we are all pinpointed, so to speak, towards him. The National Socialist Party in the 20s adopted this as their official salute, and it became the salute as well for fascist Italy as well. And it also spread to the United States. There are actually photos of children in their school saluting the American flag and singing the national anthem while using this kind of salute.
Right.
After the Second World War, it was outlawed by the United Nations. And what is interesting is, in fact, there were only three paramilitary bodies that use this as their official salute. One of them is the Hamas. The other one is the Islamic Jihad. And the third one are the Revolutionary Guards in Iran. They use this as their official salute.
That is so interesting.
Because they know, right, and they know what this means for us as Jews. And that's why they use it. And when the Abraham Accords came into being a few years, the first thing I did was I went in to see how they salute in the army, in the United Emirates, and in the area around. And they actually use the British salute, which is similar to the salutes used in South Africa,
right,
where you have the palm extended outwards and not palm facing downwards as most. So to get back to the point, Elon Musk, you need to look at this in the context. He was very enthusiastic, his whole body language. And his arm was pointing not in front of his body, it was pointing away from his body. And he used it as a sign of expression of extreme enthusiasm, happiness. And I believe after looking at all the different views of different Jewish organizations, etc., this was totally unintended. To be any kind of salute in the way of the Nazis, and much more of something of enthusiasm. Again, he should be more careful in the future. But I don't believe that he should apologize for it. And I think that most of Israel believes in a Elon Musk version that, you know, that it was totally unintended. It wasn't something which was meant to be against Jews in general and against Israel in particular.
And when you interpret body language, how much do you look at the greater context? I mean, here's a guy who has been enormously supportive of Israel, who's been to Israel since October the 7th, who has shown support on X over and over again for Israel, mm-hmm. for Jews. Surely, even when interpreting body language, we look at other factors?
Of course, which is something which was very surprising when I went to, they actually interpreted only one small part of less than 10 seconds in which he did both of these movements. And taking anything out of context, you can make huge mistakes with this, which is why whenever I interpret body language of people or I'm asked to interpret of certain people, there are many questions to be asked. There's a lot of background, and it's like going into a doctor's office. If you go into a doctor's office and he takes one look and says, okay, this is what you need, you know, you don't go to that doctor again because he doesn't know what he's talking about. So obviously you need a lot of background, you need to put it into context, you need to look at the person, you need to look at all the things that he or she have done up till now, and only then to take a point of view, right. And not to take something and totally misconstrue it.
So just to take it to the extreme, if somebody took a photo of somebody watching, listening to a speech, and they blink, and they take the photo with their eyes closed, in that split second, they could say, interpreting the body language, look, they closed off to it. They look at their, you know, they can't even, you know, they were sitting there with their eyes closed. But it was a millisecond of blink.
That's right.
It's absurd.
Which is why you never, I agree. Which is why you never take one facial expression or one body movement and interpret it by yourself. You have to see at least three or four things to start to get a picture. In courses which are given body language, I always tell the students that you can interpret out about 95%, but leave 5% as in doubt, which means that you can interpret somebody's body language and get it totally wrong. So it's always to get as much information as possible before making any kind of judgment, because you can take a blink of an eye, you can take a smile on the face, you can take a hand movement, and if you take it just by itself, it means... it doesn't necessarily mean anything. It's only when things are taken in context that things start to make sense.
Right.
So regarding what you said at the beginning, I totally agree with you that this is not something which was intended, and he doesn't need to apologize for it. And
right.
This is from my point of view as a body language expert.
Right. So just moving, I just want to ask you one more question, which has been fascinating me. During his first term, Donald Trump met with Putin. Putin's very, very contained. He doesn't allow anybody within his close proximity. You can't really read very, very much. And Donald Trump was literally all over the show, legs splayed, arms moving in all directions. The Donald Trump then, from a body language perspective, and the Donald Trump today, version 2 Donald Trump, is it very different?
In my view, yes. It comes in many different ways. I mean, first of all, you have an age difference of 8 years between his first term and the starting of the term. I think he's much more focused. He's much more into politics, knows how things work. He's much more self-contained. I think also the assassination attempts on his life have also,
yes.
I don't know whether it's subdued him, but it's made him a lot more serious about
right.
what he wants to do. And I mean, signing 200 presidential
he must be exhausted.
Decrees in one
yeah.
day.
Mm.
It must be exhausted. It's also a world record for any right. president of the United States on his first day. But he's much more focused. Putin is something within itself. I'd be very happy to come to the show and to give a bit of background about Putin's body language, which is not only self-contained, but it sits a lot on events that he went through in his childhood.
And you know what? Then we're going to keep this KGB. As this is going to be a cliffhanger, and we're going to get you back because I can tell you, I know our listeners, and this is something that they wanted to hear. So we're definitely going to get you back with your permission, especially because it is 9 o'clock. It's time for us to get out of studio. Tzvi Ofir is a body language expert chatting to us about Elon Musk. Well, you heard what he said. We're going to get him back to talk about Putin and all sorts of other things.